Oh, hi there. Hello, and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host. We have a listener of the week, Sean Conungo. He emailed me. I work in the innovation space, and I find your nonprofit radio podcast super relevant to what I do. Loved 2017 Legal Tips episode. Thank you. 2017 Legal Tips episode, that was Aaron Bradrick on January 6th. Gene Takagi blew it. I invited him, but he couldn't pull it together. So he had someone from his office do it. I'm not sure if it's drugs or alcohol. It might be. I don't know. Maybe it is. You tell me. It might be drugs or alcohol. I just don't know. Sean continues, I just put an awesome review and rating on iTunes and just wanted to pass on the love, keep doing your thing, and inspiring us to crush it. Well, it's actually be great is what I encourage at the end of encourage. It's more than just an encouragement. It's an explicit demand. Be great. So it's not quite crush it, but it's. I think crushing it is lesser than be great. Any case, Sean, still grateful, whether it's crushing it or be great. Thanks for loving Nonprofit Radio. Thank you for the iTunes rate and review. And you can find us on iTunes at nonprofitradio.net. Just saying. I don't know. Is that inappropriate self-promotion? I don't know. You tell me. He's Sean Conungo, S-H-A-W-N-K-A-N-U-N-G-O. And he's at seancanungo.com. Sean, thank you so much for the Nonprofit Radio love. Congratulations on being this week's Listener of the Week. And I'm glad you're with me. I'd get hit with ridiculoganglionitis if you got me nervous with the idea that you missed today's show. Fire up your board fundraising. Consultant and author Gail Perry will reveal proven techniques to motivate your board to step up to their fundraising responsibilities. Her book is Fired Up Fundraising. And that originally aired November 12th, 2010. This show's been around a long time, you know. We're coming up on the 7th anniversary in July. Every July is another 50 shows. So in November of 2010, we were about July, October, November, 4 months old. Is that right? Yes, 4 months old. So the quality of my questioning may not be up to what you're accustomed to in these days, but the information still very relevant. Board fundraising, still very, very much an issue 7 years later. And we didn't only start talking about it in 2010. On Tony's Take Two, naps. And that's right, naps. 2 weeks in a row. Are you going to give me trouble with that? We're about it. Off my back with the naps. We're sponsored by Pursuant, full-service fundraising, data-driven, and technology-enabled. You'll raise more money. Pursuant.com. And by WeBe Spelling, super cool spelling bee fundraisers. WeBeSpelling.com. Here is Gail Perry on firing up your board fundraising from November 2010. Fire up your board fundraising. I'll be joined by Gail Perry. Gail is a consultant and the author of Fired Up Fundraising, Turn Board Passion into Action. Her book title pretty much says it all. She's going to share proven techniques to motivate your board to step up to their fundraising responsibilities. Gail's book is published by Wiley, and it is available on Amazon. Gail's with us for the hour. I'm joined now by the president of Gail Perry Associates. Gail Perry is a consultant and author. As I said earlier, her book is Fired Up Fundraising, Turn Board Passion into Action, published by Wiley, available on Amazon.com. Gail is an international speaker on this subject, and she has led her own consulting firm for over 14 years. I'm very glad that Gail's practice brings her to the show today. She's joining us from North Carolina. Welcome, Gail.
How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing well.
Afternoon.
Welcome to the show. Pleasure to have you. Gail, why is fundraising important for board members?
Well, gosh, what a great question. They actually own the organization and are legally responsible for it. And many say that they have a very direct responsibility to fundraising, although many board members do not agree with you.
Gail, I'm going to interrupt you. I know you're on a Vonage connection, I think. Is that right? Yeah, and it's breaking up a little bit. Do you have another phone that you can call on, and I will do a little.
Sure do.
I'll do a little song and dance while you call in.
A little song and dance.
Okay,
I
please
will
do.
Shift to another phone.
This is Tony Martinetti.
Wait, tell you what, let me try this.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was all set for my song and dance. Look at this. She cuts me off. I'm going to show you. We're just having a little technical problem with trying to get a good connection from Gail. Gail, are you there?
Is this any better?
No, yes, it sounds better. Why don't we continue with the question? Why?
Right.
And you cut me off. I didn't even get to do my song and dance. You believe this? All right. Maybe later. Another show. Gail, you're still there?
There.
Gail? That's beautiful. All right. This is live radio because this wouldn't happen otherwise. We have Gail back, but we're going to take this break. I'll be joined by Gail Perry after this break. Please stay with me.
You're tuned to Nonprofit Radio. Tony Martinetti also hosts a podcast for the Chronicle of Philanthropy. Fundraising Fundamentals is a quick, 10-minute burst of fundraising insights published once a month. Tony's guests are expert in crowdfunding, mobile giving, event fundraising, direct mail, and donor cultivation. Really, all the fundraising issues that make you wonder, am I doing this right? Is there a better way? There is. Find the Fundraising Fundamentals archive at TonyMartinetti.com. That's MARTIGNETTI. Remember, there's a G before the N. Thousands of listeners have subscribed on iTunes. You can also learn more at the Chronicle website, philanthropy.com. Fundraising Fundamentals, the better way. What's not to love about nonprofit radio? Tony gets the best guests. Check this out from Seth Godin.
This is the first revolution since TV 1950 and Henry Ford 1920. It's the revolution of our lifetime.
Here's a smart, simple idea from Craigslist founder Craig Newmark.
Yeah, in sites or in presentation or anything, people don't really need the fancy stuff. They need something which is simple and fast.
When's the best time to post on Facebook? Facebook's Andrew Noyes knows.
At traffic is at an all-time high around 9 a.m. or 8 p.m. So that's when you should be posting your most meaningful posts.
Here's Aria Finger, COO of DoSomething.org.
Young people are not going to be involved in social change if it's boring and they don't see the impact of what they're doing. So you got to make it fun and applicable to these young people, because otherwise a 15 and 16-year-old, they have better things to do. They have Xbox, they have TV, they have their cell phones.
Ami Dar is the founder of Idealist.
It took 2 or 3 years for foundation staff to sort of deign to add an email address to their card. Yes. It was like, it was phone. This email thing is weird. Plus, why should I give it away?
Charles Best founded DonorsChoose.org.
Somehow they've gotten in touch, kind of offline, as it were.
Yeah.
And they'll do exchanges of brownies and visits and physical gifts.
Mark Echo is the founder and CEO of Echo Enterprises. You may be wearing his hoodies and shirts. Tony talked to him.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big believer that it's not what you make in life. It's you know, it's how you make people feel.
This is public radio host Majora Carter.
Innovation is in the power of understanding that you don't just, you know, you just put money on a situation and expect it to heal. You put money on a situation and invest it and expect it to grow.
And savvy advice for success from Eric Saperston.
What separates those who achieve from those who do not is in direct proportion to one's ability to ask others for help.
The smartest experts and leading thinkers are on Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%.
I'm joined now by Gail Perry. Our subject is Fire Up Your Board Fundraising. Gail, you're with us, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
How's the sound this time?
Excellent. Much, much better.
Good.
And let's go to that first question. Why is fundraising important for board members, Gail?
Well, board members have such a responsibility to make sure the organization is successful. But the problem is that many board members are not enlisted or recruited and told when they're recruited that their job is fundraising.
So at the outset, they should be told.
They should be told, and it doesn't happen. I think nonprofits are embarrassed to ask them or afraid to bring it up, and I think it backfires terribly, because then the staff wants the board to help in fundraising, and the board says, what's this about?
Yes.
You know, the
Chronicle of Philanthropy just yesterday in the online edition had an article about the frustrations among nonprofits that board members don't step up to this important obligation. And on the sidebar, there were four articles going back to, I think, 1997, uh-huh. since then, and all of them had the headline something like, nonprofit board members don't step up to their responsibilities. I mean, it was basically that.
Yeah.
Four or five, maybe, articles since, yeah. I think, 1997.
Yeah.
I know this is an enormous area of frustration for nonprofits.
Yeah, it is, but the problem is that I think nonprofits bear a lot of the blame, because I think, frankly, their expectations are way too high. You can't expect untrained volunteers to be successful in fundraising when they've never done it before, and they may not have the personality for it. Frankly, I don't want all my board members out there soliciting because they wouldn't be good at it, and I'd probably have to clean up after them.
Okay, and we're going to talk about that later on,
what
other roles there are around fundraising besides soliciting.
Mm-hmm.
But so you think the responsibility lies with the nonprofit. You want to say a little more about that?
Yeah, there's a famous line that says, we all get the boards we deserve.
Mm, yes.
And that means that the more time and energy you spend on your board, the more you get out of them. And I think that nonprofit leaders need to take a leadership role with their board and give them training and talk to them about expectations and talk to them about what it is that the job of the board members is to do, because so many board members don't know. And I frankly think a lot of people who serve on boards are very well-meaning people and they want to do a good job, but you got to tell them what you need.
Yeah, that's always the case. They're passionate about the mission, and I know part of your message is to unleash that passion. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
But they're always passionate about it. Otherwise, they would have turned you down.
Yeah, so you know they care, but you've got to figure out a way to make it easy for them and make it fun for them.
And what are some of the challenges that are either organizational or personal to board members?
Well, you know, for one thing, they don't know anything about fundraising. I think it's unreasonable to assume that somebody can do a great job when they're totally untried. And you know, I'm a battle-weary, hardened veteran of 25 years in fundraising, and I'm very comfortable with it. I go to sessions, I write articles, I attend conferences, I understand the techniques and the technology. So one of the hurdles is they don't understand it at all. I think mm-hmm. board members think that fundraising is all about asking for money. And we all know that that's not particularly good fundraising, because good fundraising is much more of a cultivation process and a relationship-driven process. But if board members think it's all about asking and it's all about money, then they freeze. You know, from my perspective, I think fundraising is about changing the world and helping children and helping the environment and all the things that you're raising money for. And so board members get stuck in this mythology of what they think fundraising is, and they make it into this horrible, yucky, embarrassing, tacky, poor manners. they make up all sorts of myths about mm-hmm. it. But when you do it right, it's a real joyful experience, because you're matching donors with causes.
That mythology often is carried on by the organization.
Yeah, you know, I think fundraising's got a bad rap all around, you know, because a lot of people are nervous about it, and they don't understand it. They don't know how to do it well, and it does take a special skill set. It really does.
What about the meetings that board members are attending? Can't they be used for?
Yeah.
Well, you're laughing. Look, she's laughing at me on my own show. You believe this?
Yeah.
No,
I'm
I know you're. I know you're laughing at the question.
I'm
laughing
with you. Because I don't like board meetings. I think that board meetings are boring, and I think board members would tell you that they're boring.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say to you, if you have boring meetings, what kind of a board are you going to have? A bored board. And if you have a bored board, I don't think they're going to take action in fundraising. So it's very important that we make board meetings into a cheerleading session and an exciting motivational experience.
Now, that's interesting. So sometimes, you know, something called a cheerleading session is used pejoratively, but obviously you don't mean that. How would you turn board meetings into a cheerleading session?
Well, you know, I think it's got to have some excitement and passion to it. I think the leadership has got to be passionate and excited. I think you've got to talk about important issues. You've got to don't waste your board members' time with crap, excuse me. You know, I think you bring in testimonials from people who are being helped by your organization. I mean, just last night I was doing a board retreat with our local women's center, and I asked the director to tell us a story
of something that had touched her heart recently, and she said, she told a story of this woman who had two children, preschool children, small ones. Her husband lost his job, and he abandoned the family. And she was at her last resort. She didn't know what to do. She was going to get evicted from her apartment. She had no money. She had nothing. Two small children had never worked outside the home. And when Jean, the director of the Women's Center, told her that that the Women's Center could help her with her rent for a couple of months till she got herself established, the lady burst into tears. And Jean, in telling this story last night, she cried and had to blow her nose. And, and, you know, it was in front of all the board members, and the board members really got it about how important their work was. And it was a very touching and motivational moment. It was probably the most touching moment I experienced all week in my work.
Yeah, that's an outstanding story. And, and in a board meeting. And
what
was the reaction to board members? Could you see any
oh, yeah, they were all
physical reaction
too,
to it?
Because they could feel.
Right.
They could feel the energy. So I think a lot about energy. I think that energy probably maybe is the basis of all this stuff.
Well, let's talk a little more about that, because you think about it a lot. What do you mean about the energy?
You know, let me give you a little example. Do you have a friend whose energy is like the cold, clammy kitchen sink? You don't want to spend Friday night with them, right? But do you have a friend whose energy is like the warm sunshine? And you want to spend time with them. And one of my great fundraising mottos is, when in doubt, throw a party. Because if you can make what you're doing fun, you attract people to you. And if board meetings are fun, if the board members enjoy getting together, if you can make your board meetings into a party and let people enjoy themselves, you attract more people to your cause. And if you're having a fundraising event, turn that into a party, and you will make more money. There's a whole lot of this attitude about being gregarious and being... I mean, you change the world by expanding your energy and influencing other people. And if board members are embarrassed about fundraising and embarrassed about, quote, hitting up somebody or something, their energy is going to be like the cold, clammy kitchen sink. So I got to get board members away from their myths about fundraising being yucky and get them pointed toward maybe friend raising, so they can be excited about what they're doing and really inspired about the work.
And there are other activities which we'll talk about that are appropriate around fundraising.
Yeah, but you know, Tony, if I could just interject, it's interesting that the act of fundraising can be seen as yucky and clammy and dirty and embarrassing and begging, even, which is a very debased form of human action. Or the same activity fundraising can be seen as one of the most powerful, shining examples of compassion and humankind.
Mm.
Same action.
Yes, I'm talking with Gail Perry. She's a consultant and author. She's the president of Gail Perry Associates, and her book is "Fired Up Fundraising: Turn Board Passion into Action." Gail, aside from these very poignant testimonials at meetings, how else can we enliven this passion?
Well, I'd like to ask board members why they care. It's very, very interesting to hear what
now,
board members...
Do you mean just go around the table and ask, or you mean write it out? How logistically, in detail, how would we do that?
A friend of mine who's a development director for a hospice tried the question with her group this way. She said to her board members, and they were a very stiff bunch of men who didn't like to fund. They thought their job was to manage money, not to raise it, you know, those kind of people.
Yes.
And she went around the table, and she said, tell me what legacy you'd like to leave from serving on this board.
Right, they went around the table.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She said, you would have thought I'd open the floodgates. She said she had never seen such emotion and such passion in these people. And she said it was a sea change.
Gail,
you know,
we have
a meeting she had with these people in 3 years.
Yeah, in three, again, a very telling story. Gail, we have a call, and I haven't even said the number. Look at this. If you'd like to talk to Gail, our call-in number is 877-480-4120, 877-480-4120, and we have a caller. What is your name, please?
Hi, my name is Marion.
Marion, hi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
What's your question for Gail?
My question is, our board members, we've made the mistakes Gail has already discussed in terms of we didn't pre-educate them about the fundraising aspects. I guess going forward, you know, live and learn. How do we go forward in picking board members? How do we screen them and educate them before we pick them that this is going to be part of their job duty? Mm-hmm. And also, does she have any ideas in terms of resources that we could use to get people over this hump of feeling like fundraising is yucky? Because I agree with FriendRaise. Essentially, you know, the goal is to ask those friends for money, and how do we educate our board members appropriately?
Mm-hmm. Marion, I'm going to ask you to take the answer offline on the air because you're breaking up a little bit. But we have your questions. Thank you very much for calling. The number to call is 877-480-4120. Gail, what about the Marion's first question on screening board members?
Yes. Well, let me give you an example. I'm chair of a board governance committee for a statewide board here in North Carolina, and we are literally a fundraising board, and we have changed our mission to be much more specific about fundraising, and it's my job to be the it's my job to be in charge of the board member recruitment process.
Okay, I'm not surprised.
And so we've had people in action all over the state all year in, you know, feeling out potential board members. And I have gotten on the phone with these women that were enlisting, and I said, listen, I just want to go over with you the expectations, and I don't want you to be surprised. I said the really number one job of the board members is to be leaders in their local fundraising event in their local town. And do you have any problem with calling people for sponsorships and blah, blah, blah? I mean, I'm very explicit to them, and they usually say, no, I'm happy to do that. And then I say, and, you know, I just want to let you know that most of the board members, almost all of us, are contributing at the $1,000 level as trailblazers. And I don't want you to be surprised about that either. And do you think that's something you could consider? And the people I've talked to said, yeah, I think I can consider that. So it's been amazing that it's been so easy for me to talk about it, because it can be embarrassing. But somehow I'm not the person who enlisted them. I'm sort of like the policeman.
Right.
To screen them before they come on the board, because they want to be accepted into this group of very high-powered women, and they don't want any surprises. And so they're pretty grateful for the conversation with me, and they're real enthusiastic.
What about putting these expectations in writing?
I think that's very helpful.
So after you've gotten their verbal...
But there's nothing... there are a lot of organizations that have lots of written expectations that board members have signed, and nothing's happened.
Yeah, well, okay, of course.
So I think the oral...
The writings need to be enforced.
Even more essential than the writing it out.
Okay, yeah.
Think about it, because you got to eyeball people or get them on the phone and be very direct. Because people don't read stuff anyway that they sign.
Right. All right. Well, are you suggesting a conversation and then something in writing?
Yeah.
And the writing, of course, needs to be enforced.
Yeah. And, you know, people don't enforce this stuff.
Gail, in just
although I do know a couple of boards that they give their board members a sort of a report card at their place at every board meeting about where they stand on their commitments.
Yeah, well, I think, and we're going to talk later.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
We're going to talk later in.
Idea.
We're going to talk later in the hour about self-assessment. In just the minute we have left before a break, Gail, can you share with our caller her second question, some resources for making fundraising more appealing?
Yeah, and if I could suggest, on my website, GailPerry.com, I have a ton of articles on inspiring board members and lots of different techniques and conversations to stage with them to help them change their attitude about fundraising. I think you need to have a frank fear of fundraising conversation. And I think that's very healthy and, what do you call it, cleansing moment to let them throw up about it. And then you've got to have a conversation about abundance versus scarcity and about the importance of optimism and the connection to their passion. And then friend making is such a big deal because I tell I speak all over the country on this, and I tell everybody I would rather have a friend to my cause than a donor.
Excellent. Gail, we're going to take a break.
Yeah.
Those resources are available at GailPerry.com, and you'll also find a link to those resources, which are excellent. I was through them on my blog at mpgadv.com under today's show post. We're going to take a break. After the break, of course, Gail Perry stays with us, and I hope you do too. More with Gail Perry is coming up. First, Pursuant. They have the replay of the Breakthrough Fundraising webinar. It is up, and it's pursuant, so you know that it is free. If you want to break through to extraordinary fundraising, this is going to help you out. You'll figure out the invisible obstacles that are holding you back. Affiliates, here is another resource you can take advantage of. If you couldn't make the live webinar, catch it now. Sometimes the timing doesn't work out for our affiliates, but now you get the archive version. It's up. It's at pursuant.com. Click resources, then webinars. Couldn't be simpler. We be spelling bees for millennial fundraising. How about a game show in a local place as a fundraiser? That's what these bees are. Spelling bee, concert, stand-up comedy, live music, dancing. Check out their video. It's at webeespelling.com. Very cool events. Now, time for Tony's Take Two. I love naps. And get off my back about it. Yes, it's 2 weeks in a row. Back off. It's my show. I'll do whatever the hell I want. And I'm a fan of napping. You only need, research says, about 20 minutes to work more efficiently through the rest of your workday. So give in to that post-lunch slump. Naps are encouraged all over the world, and my video has links to research, the 20-minute research, and I've got a link to worldwide nap culture, and also a link to a video that I did on minute suites when I was at the DFW airport, where I wake up from an in-suite nap and I review that service, minute suites, at airports. They are cool. I got a link to that also. The video is at tonymartinetti.com, all about naps. Gotta love them. That is Tony's Take Two. The live listener love goes out. We're pre-recorded, but the love goes out on the day that the show is live then, not now. I have love, but it's got going out now. It goes out then, this day, today, in the future. The live love to everybody who's throughout the world. We know they're in Asia. We know we got Asia. We know we got California. We know we got New York, New York. You've been very consistent, New York, New York. New Bern, North Carolina, consistent. So the love goes out to the live listeners. And quick on the heels are the podcast pleasantries to the over 12,000 listening in the time shift. Very, very glad that you are with us. That's the vast majority of our listening audience. Pleasantries to the podcast listeners. And the affiliate affections, gotta do them. AM and FM affiliate stations throughout the country. Let your station know. That would be glad. I get occasional feedback, but not too much from our AM and FM stations. Let them know you're listening. Please do a service to them and for nonprofit radio. Our affiliate listeners throughout the country on the AM and FM stations, the family of stations, nonprofit radio. I'm glad you're with us, affiliate listeners. Here's the rest of Gail Perry on Firing Up Your Board Fundraising. My guest is Gail Perry, the author of Fired Up Fundraising, Turn Board Passion into Action, that is published by Wiley and available at Amazon. Gail, you left with a very interesting a phrase. Repeat that for us, and let's think about that.
Friend making? I know what I said. I said I would rather have a friend to my cause than a donor. Rather have a friend than a donor. And people are shocked when I say that.
Yeah, say a little more about
and
it.
The reason is then I ask everybody, what will a friend do for you? You know, and friends to your cause will do everything in the world, including give money. And so maybe we do need to change our fundraising into friend-making, because if you make friends out of your donors and bring them much more deeply into the cause and get them really involved, then they'll stick with you for the long run. And we have a terrible problem in fundraising of what we call donor attrition, which is, of course, the fact that donors give once and then they slip away, or give twice and they don't stick around. I mean, Tony, do you know the statistics for donor attrition in our sector?
I do not know them, but before you cite them, yeah. I do know that it costs a lot more time and money to find a new donor than it does to treat well and retain an existing donor.
Yeah, I was reading some statistic that said it costs 10 times more to get a new donor or a new customer for a business
mm-hmm.
than it does to retain one.
And what are those attrition
statistics? Here's the appalling statistic, is that across the board, the probability that I will make a second gift to your organization after I made the first one is only 50% at best.
Really? That's the high, 50%?
Yeah.
Really?
Some other studies cited even lower than that.
Yeah.
And so I would say that nonprofits are failing miserably at customer service and donor service. So therefore, maybe we do need to focus on our current donors and love them a lot and involve them more deeply rather than going out and beating our heads against the wall in the much harder work of bringing in new donors.
And of course, every organization is going to have their own statistic, which they certainly should be tracking.
Well,
their own,
they may not.
Their own donor attrition. Well, they ought to be, I think,
yeah.
Tracking their own donor attrition.
Yeah.
And if they find that number to be high, the percentage to be high, what can they be doing to reduce that, to reduce the attrition?
Well, gosh, there are lots of things they could do.
Yeah,
in fact, we have a whole movement in fundraising called donor-centered fundraising. In fact, there was just a Twitter chat on that topic that I was following a little while ago. Donor-centered fundraising means that you are thinking about your donor rather than yourself all the time. And you communicate with your donor frequently with cheerful news about the results that you've achieved in the world with their gift. And you do everything you can to make the donor feel passionate and connected. You invite them to special things. You send them special mailings. You do not meaningful information about what you're doing does not include a boring newsletter, because studies show that most donors find that nonprofit newsletters are boring and they don't read them. Some organizations have what they call a donor appreciation event.
Yes.
Now, if something sounds boring, that sounds boring. I'd rather go to a barbecue at somebody's house to celebrate the donors, but not to a donor appreciation event. So I think nonprofits need to think a lot more entrepreneurially about what donor and customer service really looks like and be creative with whatever their organization does in terms of programming to bring donors in.
So programming, communications.
Phone calls to say thank you. Statistics show that the phone call thank you probably is the most powerful tool to keep a donor giving and connected.
And I think one of the best ways, well, I don't know, a great way for donors, for board members to be involved is making those thank you calls.
Absolutely.
I have some clients who do that, others don't, but just a simple called to say thank you, not to ask for anything more, not even to invite you, but just to say thank you, right?
Mm-hmm. And Penelope Burke has done, the great Canadian researcher, has done study after study on the statistical results of what happens when board members say thank you and in her make a phone call to say thank you. And her very first study that she's repeated over and over with many different size organizations, here's the first study. It's amazing. She was working with the Canadian Paraplegic Association, and they were doing a phone mail campaign all across Canada. And the average gift of this campaign was $26.
Yes.
And she did a test and had the board members make a thank you phone call within 24 hours after the gift was received to one out of every 10 donors on that big campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So they made their phone calls. The board members had a great time. They enjoyed it. It was very well orchestrated. Then 5 months later, they resolicited both groups, the group that hadn't gotten the phone call and the groups that had gotten the phone call. And so guess how much more money the people who were phone called gave?
I don't know. Did it double?
39%.
39% more. Yeah.
39% more.
From
money.
The 10%.
And so here's proof that board members can directly impact the bottom line in fundraising without having to ask for money.
Right, and that's what we alluded to earlier.
Yeah.
It's not all about asking.
No, and so that's what all of my message is all about. And I do board retreats around the country, and I'm very popular with boards because I give them easy ways to make a difference in fundraising that don't involve asking. So they like me, and also I try to turn the retreat into a party, and they like that too.
Yes, and well, you're very popular with Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. I mean, we got a call even before I had announced the phone number to call.
Well, I sent a little tweet out a minute ago, you know, said everybody call in.
Oh, you did? Look at this. She's tweeting while she's talking to me on the phone. You believe that?
No.
Now, what about that previous guest I had, Alice March, the attention factor? Now, that's not good practice. No, I'm sure you did it on a break. I'm sure you did it on a break. But the number to call, if you do want to talk to my guest, Gail Perry,
yeah,
is 877-480-4120, 877-480-4120. And Gail is the author of Fired Up Fundraising, Turn Board Passion into Action. What else, Gail, besides the simple and the thing that something that everybody would love to do, besides those simple and pleasant thank you phone calls, how else can we engage board members that is not a direct solicitation?
Well, one of the when I was writing my book, I interviewed a lot of executive directors, and one person just said something so tellingly. She said, "If I could just get my board members to open doors, that would make my life so much easier." But they are embarrassed about opening doors, and they think it's all about money, and they won't do it. And so let's give some thought about how board members can open doors in a way that is easy for them and playful and fun, and it's like throwing all their friends onto the bandwagon rather than being stiff and awkward. Because, you know, I like the metaphor of a bandwagon. I tell board members that everybody they know, and especially their family and close friends, needs to know that they are very excited about this cause, and they spend a lot of time on this cause. And I tell board members that, you know, you're familiar with the concept, of course, of viral marketing.
Yes.
And the notion that ideas are viruses and they spread. And so I tell board members they need to be sneezers. Everywhere they go, they need to be sneezing on everybody, you know, to spread a contagious epidemic of happy news about the work that their organization's doing to make the world a different place, better place.
So that's just asking
and
them.
Board members laugh. They like that.
And
they
that's
can,
just
they can they understand the concept of sneezing on everybody they know, and so they can do that. So we have to in order to help them sneeze properly, though, I have found out that board members don't know what to say. If you really think about it, they go boop boop. They don't know what to say, and even board members have come to me and they say, What, when I have a chance to talk to somebody, what do I talk about?
Now, Gail, wait, before we talk about what it is you want them to say, who is it they should be talking to?
Well,
sneezing on who?
They need every board member, even if they say they don't know any, quote, wealthy people, unquote. Every board member has relationships that can help forward their organization. It might be with a church group or a club or a foundation or a corporation, or maybe their wealthy aunt.
What about their coworkers?
Well, they're coworkers too, although sometimes coworkers, sometimes that can be a little touchy.
Oh, okay.
However, many businesses adopt causes for their employees to get involved in.
Okay.
And encourage that as part of a team building exercise.
So it's very broad, mostly personal relationships,
mm-hmm.
personal networks.
Mm-hmm.
And this is contrary.
You know,
think about
all the social networks that any one person has. I mean, I've got my hairdresser, I've got my dry cleaner, you know, I've got my extended family, which is very large, professional friends, social friends. You know, most of these people know that I'm wildly passionate about a couple of causes and that they're always invited.
Right. Now, your advice, Gail, is a matter,
that's why I say when in doubt, throw a party. It's a matter of getting board members into a different spirit about their cause.
Okay, but what should they be? What should they
specifically? A spirit of having fun, a spirit of inviting people, and it's a spirit of sneezing everywhere and talking about it and not being afraid or embarrassed about talking about
it. And what should they be saying, Gail? What specifically?
Well, you know, like the Women's Center last night, we talked about. We did a little bit of messaging. We did a mingle exercise, and I asked everybody in the room to get up out of their chair and find another board member and just tell them why they care. So, and we did that three different times. They found three different board members or four different board members and just shared a conversation about why they cared. And so I think what a board member should talk about is why they care about the organization, because that is an impact statement. It's not specific. It usually doesn't have programs and services and data in it. It has an emotional story that comes from the heart.
Give us an example of a statement like that.
Well, I believe in the Women's Center because, I'm involved. This organization I'm so passionate about, I do politics for a hobby, and it's a PAC. And, you know, I'm an active Democrat, and I also advise all fundraisers to be active in any politically in either side because it's good. It helps your fundraising at multiple levels. So I'm passionate about this Democratic cause of electing women to office, and I just believe that when more women are in the General Assembly of North Carolina, we have better laws for children, for victims, for the environment, and women deserve the voice and they need the voice. And so that's my personal opinion about why I think my organization is important.
Okay.
And so the Women's Center people, they can say, you know, I'm just so worried because these homeless women and children are the most fragile people in our society, and they're right in our backyard, and it breaks my heart to see them, and they really need some help.
And it's an ideal way of opening a conversation mm-hmm. about the organization that you're so passionate about and bringing more friends to it, right? That's the whole objective?
Yeah, and you know, and see, board members don't have to have a big speech prepared.
Right.
They can just talk about their own personal opinion about why it's important, and they can do that because they're not going to forget that. They might forget the mission statement and the three main marketing messages, but they'll remember why they care.
Gail, what's another way? Before we move on to the other additional ways, I do want to put a disclaimer in that mm-hmm. Gail's evidence advice of sneezing is contrary to Centers for Disease Control recommendations that you sneeze into your elbow. That is not. She does not want you to sneeze into your elbow. She wants you to sneeze openly, broadly, and be aerosoling your good message throughout the subways and your community. Do not sneeze into your elbow. Gail, how else, this to me, I think, is the crux of our whole conversation.
Yeah.
Ways, specific ways that board members can be engaged that is not a solicitation.
Yeah. Okay.
How else?
All right, now, two of my favorite ways are to host tours and host small socials. I think think of your typical nonprofit. If every single board member hosted an event in their home just to introduce their friends to the cause, no soliciting, just to introduce them, just think what networks your organization would open for the future. For example, we had a new director of the Carolina Ballet here in North Carolina, and I was a ballet board member.
Yes.
And I had a porch party to introduce people to this new artistic director. And we had about 20 people who came and 40 people invited. And
you have a very big porch.
Yeah, well, I have a big old southern front porch. I have a lot of porch parties.
Here in New York City, we'd have a balcony party. It would be board member and the executive director squeezed onto a balcony that's about 14 inches wide or deep. But that only applies here.
Well, hopefully we have a national audience listening, right, not just New York.
We certainly do.
In fact, the idea of a porch party really goes over well in Texas and some of the other places I work. But from that porch party, the ballet got eventually a wonderful new board member and a major donor. And it was the first time these people had been introduced to the ballet. And I, as the board member, didn't have to do anything. All I had to do was have a little party and tell everybody they needed to meet this hot new guy in town. So it was very easy. And I wasn't self-conscious or anything. See, the problem is if board members think it's all about money, they're not going to do it because their energy is going to clam up and they're going to feel self-conscious and awkward and they're going to back away.
It's not about money. It's about introductions, right?
Right. It's about making friends.
Friends, right.
Because even if people can't give, they may have other relationships they can offer that can open doors and... You know, if you think about the vast possible network that your organization could make use of, it's good to think in a very broad picture.
Gail, we have to take a break.
Yeah.
My guest is Gail Perry, the author of Fired Up Fundraising, Turned Board Passion into Action. We'll take this break. Please stay with us.
Like what you're hearing on Nonprofit Radio? Tony's got more. On YouTube, you'll find clips from his stand-up comedy, TV spots, and exclusive interviews. Catch guests like Seth Godin, Craig Newmark, the founder of Craigslist, Mark Echo of Echo Enterprises, Charles Best from DonorsChoose.org, Aria Finger of DoSomething.org, and Naomi Levine from New York University's Hyman Center on Philanthropy. Tony tweets, too. He finds the best content from the most knowledgeable and interesting people in and around nonprofits to share on his stream. If you have valuable info, he wants to retweet you. During the show, you can join the conversation on Twitter using hashtag NonprofitRadio. Twitter is an easy way to reach Tony. He's at Tony Martinetti, MARTIGNETTI. Remember, there's a G before the N. He hosts a podcast for the Chronicle of Philanthropy. Fundraising Fundamentals is a short, monthly show devoted to getting you over your fundraising hurdles. Just like Nonprofit Radio, Tony talks to leading thinkers, experts, and cool people with great ideas. As one fan said, "Tony picks their brains and I don't have to leave my office." Fundraising Fundamentals was recently dubbed the most helpful nonprofit podcast you have ever heard. You can also join the conversation on Facebook, where you can ask questions before or after the show. The guests are there, too. Get insider show alerts by email. Tony tells you who's on each week and always includes links so that you can contact guests directly. To sign up, visit the Facebook page or TonyMartinetti.com. You're tuned to Nonprofit Radio. Tony Martinetti also hosts a podcast for the Chronicle of Philanthropy. Fundraising Fundamentals is a quick, 10-minute burst of fundraising insights published once a month. Tony's guests are expert in crowdfunding, mobile giving, event fundraising, direct mail, and donor cultivation. Really, all the fundraising issues that make you wonder, am I doing this right? Is there a better way? There is. Find the Fundraising Fundamentals archive at TonyMartinetti.com. That's MARTIGNETTI. Remember, there's a G before the N. Thousands of listeners have subscribed on iTunes. You can also learn more at the Chronicle website, philanthropy.com. Fundraising Fundamentals, the better way.
Lively conversation, top trends, and sound advice. That's Tony Martinetti, Nonprofit Radio. And I'm Lawrence Pagnoni, author of The Nonprofit Fundraising Solution.
Gail, let's spend our remaining minutes talking about, let's get at least just one more idea how board members can do something fundraising related that's not a direct solicitation.
Yeah. Something else that I find very helpful, I call it the VIP prospect game. I always like to make everything into a game for board members because it sounds a little bit more interesting and fun.
And you're going to explain what the VIP prospect game is, right?
Yes.
And no jargon jail today.
Yeah.
That's good.
Here's the issue I'm tackling, is that board staff always ask the board over and over for names of people. And every board member is supposed to give 10 names in, and board members won't do it because they don't know what's going to happen to these people after the names are turned in. So what I do is I tell everybody to take out a sheet of paper that they do not have to turn in and just think for a minute, see if they can make a list of up to 10 people who could catapult your organization to a whole new level. Catapult, and I'm not talking about messing around.
Okay.
And then I'm quiet. I give them about 5 minutes, and I remind them that these people could be representatives of corporations, they could be estate attorneys, they could be government agencies or elected officials, they could be individuals, corporations, foundations, you name it, social clubs. And I try to broaden the basis for the board members to consider all the possibilities of relationships they have that could catapult their organization. And so I give them practice creating a prospect list and thinking about this without being self-conscious that they have to turn in the names. And then that's step one. Step two is that I ask them to turn to the person next to them and just discuss one of the names and one of their lists. So what I'm doing there is giving them practice moving from prospect identification to actually considering strategy. And it's a low-key, low-pressure exercise that helps board members, gets them warmed up to the whole idea of thinking big, talking about specific individuals, and then moving to a strategy of how we can open the door and cultivate a deeper relationship with this entity or this person. And what I do after the exercise is that I try to create a VIP task force committee of the board members to meet after the retreat, because we usually do this in a retreat format, meet after the retreat and come up with a prospect list. And the staff is going, yes, yes, thank you, because the staff has been trying to get the board members to do this forever, but the way they were being approached made the board members feel uncomfortable, and the board members would back away. So again, you know, my sort of playful, lighthearted approach to a topic that can be very scary for people has been helpful.
Yeah, we just have about 2 minutes left. What about board members that aren't going to jump on board with this? They're just, let's call them just like difficult board members. They're not coming on board with these ideas. How do we manage those?
Well, you know, I start with managing my expectations. I think in any board you're going to have a handful of people who are dead weight, and if you beat yourself up about trying to get these people active, you'll kill yourself.
I just as soon try to keep them quiet and hope they don't cause any disruption, and then I'll pull out my term limits to make sure that we can rotate them off the board as quickly as
possible. Yes, written term limits, which also need to be enforced.
Absolutely. Lots of organizations don't enforce them.
Okay. What if, so your advice is just bide your time until the term limit ends? It could be in the beginning of their term.
Well, you know, I think I have a friend who is an executive director. When he had board members who weren't showing up or doing what they needed to do, he would go meet with them and he would say, you know, is there another way you would like to be involved with our organization or serve our cause? Because since you can't quite do the board member job.
Yeah. Well,
he would say that, and he said usually they were relieved because they were feeling guilty.
Yes, they felt guilty and didn't want to let the organization down.
Yeah, and also I think peer pressure is a huge motivational factor because nobody wants to look embarrassed in front of their peers. Everybody wants to come to that board meeting prepared and having done their list that they said they would do. So I find peer pressure very, very helpful. And so you have to, at board meetings, you have to praise the people who are performing, and you have to honor and recognize them. And I think it's all about motivation and team building.
Gail, we have to leave it there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, our time is up.
Yeah.
My guest has been Gail Perry, consultant as president of Gail Perry Associates and author of Fired Up Fundraising, published by Wiley, available on Amazon. Gail, I want to thank you very much for being on the show. Thank you.
Yeah, and remind people that my website is gailperry.com, and there are lots of articles and resources there that you can access.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye, Gail. Next week, who needs campaign counsel? Peter Panapento walks us through his report on self-funding campaigns. If you missed any part of today's show, I beseech you, find it on TonyMartinetti.com. We're sponsored by Pursuant, online tools for small and mid-sized nonprofits, data-driven and technology-enabled, and by We Be Spelling, super cool spelling bee fundraisers, WeBeeSpelling.com. Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff, Sam Leibowitz is the line producer, Betty McCardle is our AM and FM outreach director, the show's social media is by Susan Chavez, and this music is by Scott Stein. Be with me next week for Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Go out and be great. Notice I didn't say crush it.
What's not to love about Nonprofit Radio? Tony gets the best guests. Check this out from Seth Godin.
This is the first revolution since TV 1950 and Henry Ford 1920. It's the revolution of our lifetime.
Here's a smart, simple idea from Craigslist founder Craig Newmark.
Yeah, in sites or in presentation or anything, people don't really need the fancy stuff. They need something which is simple and fast.
When's the best time to post on Facebook? Facebook's Andrew Noyes knows.
At traffic is at an all-time high around 9 a.m. or 8 p.m. So that's when you should be posting your most meaningful posts.
Here's Aria Finger, COO of DoSomething.org.
Young people are not going to be involved in social change if it's boring and they don't see the impact of what they're doing. So you got to make it fun and applicable to these young people, because otherwise a 15 and 16-year-old, they have better things to do. They have Xbox, they have TV, they have their cell phones.
Ami Dar is the founder of Idealist.
It took 2 or 3 years for foundation staff to sort of deign to add an email address to their card. Yes. It was like, it was phone. This email thing is weird. Plus, why should I give it away?
Charles Best founded DonorsChoose.org.
Somehow they've gotten in touch, kind of offline, as it were.
Yeah.
And now do exchanges of brownies and visits and physical gift.
Mark Echo is the founder and CEO of Echo Enterprises. You may be wearing his hoodies and shirts. Tony talked to him.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big believer that it's not what you make in life. It's you know, it's how you make people feel.
This is public radio host Majora Carter.
Innovation is in the power of understanding that you don't just, you know, you just put money on a situation and expect it to heal. You put money on a situation and invest it and expect it to grow.
And savvy advice for success from Eric Saperston.
What separates those who achieve from those who do not is in direct proportion to one's ability to ask others for help.
The smartest experts and leading thinkers are on Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Like what you're hearing on Nonprofit Radio? Tony's got more. On YouTube, you'll find clips from his stand-up comedy. TV spots, and exclusive interviews. Catch guests like Seth Godin, Craig Newmark, the founder of Craigslist, Mark Echo of Echo Enterprises, Charles Best from DonorsChoose.org, Aria Finger of DoSomething.org, and Naomi Levine from New York University's Hyman Center on Philanthropy. Tony tweets, too. He finds the best content from the most knowledgeable and interesting people in and around nonprofits to share on his stream. If you have valuable info, he wants to retweet you. During the show, you can join the conversation on Twitter using hashtag Nonprofit Radio. Twitter is an easy way to reach Tony. He's at Tony Martinetti, MARTIGNETTI. Remember, there's a G before the N. He hosts a podcast for the Chronicle of Philanthropy. Fundraising Fundamentals is a short, monthly show devoted to getting you over your fundraising hurdles. Just like Nonprofit Radio, Tony talks to leading thinkers, experts, and cool people with great ideas. As one fan said, Tony picks their brains and I don't have to leave my office. Fundraising Fundamentals was recently dubbed the most helpful nonprofit podcast you have ever heard. You can also join the conversation on Facebook, where you can ask questions before or after the show. The guests are there too. Get insider show alerts by email. Tony tells you who's on each week and always includes links so that you can contact guests directly. To sign up, visit the Facebook page or TonyMartinetti.com.